Good morning. You listen to FloraDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Michael Martin, the CEO of the NWFA, the National Wood Flooring Association. Michael, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Kemp?
I'm good. So none of us have traveled lately. You're in St. Louis, and I thought I'd just check in with you and see how things are going. Let's start with this primary purpose you have, which is to minimize the shift away from the use of hardwood flooring. Tell us how that battle's going.
I don't necessarily think of it that way. I mean, we still, you know, within a couple of points on the normal numbers of hardwood as far as the percentage of the marketplace. You know, obviously LVT has been a really hot trend, and yes, I think that's taken some market share away from hardwood, but at the same time, we're really seeing hardwood perform really well, especially during the pandemic. You know, people are staying in place, putting money into their homes, and we're seeing a lot being used. Our guys are, from a contractor standpoint, what we're hearing repeatedly is that people are almost booked out through the end of the year. So the work is there, the wood is going in, so I don't feel the same kind of pressure that maybe we did before.
Well, in our annual report in May, we did point out that in 19, the wholesale revenue of wood flooring was down almost double digit, and the market was down around 4%. So that was a little bit of loss of share. And as you say, I think most of that's being caused by a lot of this energy around waterproof floors and around flooring that costs, you know, a little less, which has the same look. And that just drives me to the next question. So the biggest news in the last couple of weeks has been around the fact that these Section 301 tariffs, which is a 25% tariff on LVT flooring produced in China, it's going to end up raising the cost of LVT potentially around a dollar to the consumer. So what effect do you think that might have in the area that you're focused, which is the sale of real hardwood floors?
Well, I mean, certainly I think that anything that puts the prices closer together, we know from our research that hardwood is the first choice for consumers. And it comes down to a price point where, well, if I can get something that looks like it, for less, then I can spend some money on something else in the house. So we know that that choice happens. So anything that puts those prices closer together, I think, is good. I mean, but we're also seeing some opportunities where LVT, in some cases, has gotten expensive as well. So yeah, if you're talking about something that's more high-end, you may be actually be paying more to have the LVT, which doesn't really make any sense to me as someone who would obviously prefer to see every way to use hardwood.
I think another factor, I mean, you said it just a minute ago, I want real wood, but I'll take the look-alike. But another factor that's contributed to this has been the waterproof factor. I mean, you go in now into a retail store, and there are displays that show potentially a flooded, I know it's a poster, it's a piece of cardboard, but it's showing a washing machine that potentially is overflowing. And that's actually misleading, because if your washing machine explodes, your dishwasher explodes, and water gets underneath that floor, I don't care what it's made of, you got to pull it up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always going to be a place where seepage happens, where, you know, there's something didn't completely get together, or something around the molding, something's been cut. And it is misleading, because then a lot of times you'll see mold underneath the surface level and everybody thinks they're protected because they have this waterproof floor. The water is still going somewhere.
I read an article recently, we ran it on Floor Daily, and it was talking about millennials and the fact that a research, the source is Builder Online, that's maybe suspect as to, you know, whether or not they asked enough people. But the conclusions were is that millennials want to live in a home just like they grew up in, like their parents had. But there was just a couple things that came out in the research that they weren't doing, and one of them was putting in real wood floors. What do you think's driving that?
Well, I think it's really, again, the trend that sometimes the look-alike is good enough, you know, from a price point standpoint. And when you're young and you're putting a home together, and whether it's your first home or second home, you have choices to make. But I think sometimes we don't do enough to promote the value of hardwood over the long term and the return that you're going to get when you're selling your home. We know that homes with hardwood go for 10% more over market. They sell 10% faster than other homes when it comes time for sale. So you got to ask yourself, is the lookalike good enough at the point of sale, or is it better for me to invest in the real thing and have that investment when I go to sell the home?
So I know you've got your real wood, real life campaign. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if the consumer's getting that message loud enough. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I don't think the consumer is getting that message loud enough. And one of the things that we've done last time we talked is we're working with the other associations within the hardwood space, not just flooring, but yeah, across the board, to try to raise that messaging. Because we're seeing that, you know, we've done focus groups over the last year with architects, designers. We did one specifically with millennials to really try to figure out what's driving that. And while hardwood, by and large, is absolutely the preference, no matter what building material you're talking about, for the home, for residential, it just gets shifted away at the price point. So there has to be something that reinforces the long-term durability and value that it adds to the home.
All right, let's move on to another topic, and that is trade shows. Well, we just saw yesterday where Surfaces has shifted their show from January to June, and you've got a show set up for April next year in Baltimore. Are you still on track with that?
We are. We had to cancel our show last April.
Right.
We were within about 30 days of having the show when we were forced to cancel, you know, due to the lack of being able to meet with more than 10 people in a place. So we quickly moved to a digital format. We had the show during the same date. So we've learned a lot about shifting and pivoting and trying to get people together and giving the ability to network from a digital standpoint. So we're geared. If we have to shift and pivot again, you know, we know how to do that a little bit more than we did a year ago. But at the same time, nothing will ever replace the ability to get together and be in person. So
yeah.
We're very hopeful about our April show, but we're just like everybody else, kind of waiting to see what happens.
Yeah. You know, flooring is a kinetic product. You really can't tell the quality. You really can't tell the exact color unless you actually are touching it. And I know several, even in the hardwood business, several of the suppliers in the business are offering a sampling program where consumers and dealers can get samples directly from the factory so that people can hold them and touch them, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of innovation happen during the pandemic. And that's one of the areas where, you know, people have learned and figured out how to be more customer-centric, how to get samples to people while they're in place, while they're in home, closing sales in the house, all kinds of things that really have shifted the business that I think are good for the business that will stick around.
Mm-hmm. All right, Michael, I appreciate you catching up our listeners on what's going on in the hardwood business. Again, we're talking to Michael Martin, the CEO of the NWFA, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDaily.net.